Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Sunday night, September the 30th. We're talking about youth ministry, a subject that has been, I dare say, a source of much guilt on the part of many Christian congregations. They think to themselves, we really ought to be doing more for these youth. What should we do? Call us a youth pastor? What should we do? Get a good youth group going, a youth program? How is that supposed to happen? And one of the biggest obstacles there, and this is where we're going to pick up with Pastor George Borghardt in just a moment, is their world and our world. We all remember what it was like to be teenagers. But once you've left that world, it feels like foreign territory when you're an adult. And, you know, I think sometimes youth, like dogs and wild cats, can sense fear. I think they really can. And maybe that's what's harmed youth ministry in addition to the other myths we've been dealing with. Our call-in number as we come to you live this Sunday night, September the 30th, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and a conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. George, welcome back.
Howdy, again.
Their world, the world of teenagers, does seem like a foreign territory when you're an adult. I remember distinctly what it was like to be a teenager, but I can no more enter that world of teenagers, that language, that culture, that the way that they interact, than I can go back and be a teenager. And that's a little concerning to me as an adult. Is this an obstacle for doing youth ministry?
Well, I think it can be. My teenagers like to every now and again I'm gone and I have to teach somewhere, invited to preach somewhere, or do a retreat somewhere, and I'll have one of the area pastors come in or youth workers or maybe pre-seminary and teach Bible study, and they pride themselves on eating these young pups alive. So I think they can be really scary. I do think they do smell fear. But what we got to get past is treating them any different than any other poor, miserable sinner, desperate for the forgiveness of sin. So I treat teenagers. I treat I treat the junior youth, I treat the confirmants like young adults. I treat them with respect. I treat them as young adults, and I tell them, I'm going to treat you like an adult until you give me a reason not to. And it's worked. I mean, they appreciate the respect. They appreciate being spoken to as adults. They may ask some questions that I would have never expected, but as Dr. Luther says in the Large Catechism, we got to teach the youth. Because they actually listen. When you grow up, they already know everything. So they all listen. So I appreciate them being sponges and hearing the gospel and taking it all in. So I treat them with respect. I think that's if there's any sort of part of the formula, we're not going to fall into a trap of how to do youth ministry. But I would give a suggestion of treat young people as adults and treat them with respect. And you'll find that with given the opportunity to be young adults, they'll surprise you.
Is part of the obstacle also what the parents of the youth think the youth group is for? Well, you know, we got to give them something to do, keep them off the streets, keep them busy and occupied. Otherwise, they're going to go to parties,
right.
They're going to go to R-rated movies, they're going to go to concerts we don't want them to go to and listen to music we don't want them to. So let's give them something to do.
You know, I think that a lot of times with youth groups, you give them the word. You're not a babysitting service. You're not a fun day. You're not a night out in the town. Although, I guess when my kids get to become teenagers, I'm going to look forward to nights out. I may have to. Well, I'm the youth pastor, so I'll just have to stick them with myself. Well, that doesn't work. But the idea that whenever the gospel is doing its thing with any place, there's going to be resistance. And I think a lot of times, even with good youth groups, where the Lord is doing its thing, we simply cannot believe what's going on. I have to tell my congregation time and time again and remind them, I do not believe what's going on. I talked about earlier when the kids go off to conferences, they go to these worship services 3-4 times. What I didn't say is they also have been known with all this catechesis, 3-4 hours of catechesis that goes on or teaching that goes on at a Higher Things Youth Conference. They've also been known to skip lunch so they can go get more catechesis. Now that's unbelievable. So we as pastors, when the gospel is doing its thing, it simply cannot be believed, and there is resistance. It's just simply the youth pastors, youth workers have come to me with problems that range from my elders tell me that I need to be more fun. My elders tell me that I'm not doing enough with them or not enough service. I'm giving the kids the gospel. They're receiving the gospel. Why the resistance? And there you just quote Dr. Walther, you know, where the gospel is there will be suffering. But I think catechesis and the gospel has its way with young people, and then it spreads. So when the youth get the gospel, then it starts to balloon to their parents. And then the parents see, wow, wait, it's okay being a Lutheran. It's okay in cherishing the liturgy. And then the next thing you know, everything is enlivened, all because someone heard that Jesus was for even them.
Is there a danger, George, of parents expecting the youth pastor to do all of the teaching to their children?
Well, I think that youth leaders and on Sunday morning, I don't teach my youth group. I teach them on Wednesdays because I think it's good for them to have a lay-led Bible study, and they're going through the catechism, and they're going through the scriptures now. I think that there is a danger in pushing it's like, well, we're in a sort of disposable you do it for me culture where, you know, we're going to call a youth worker as a congregation, and we expect them to do everything. Well, that's not really how it works. Christianity has a way of starting at home. And so if you would read the scriptures with your young children, if you would teach your children the commandments and the creed and the Lord's Prayer, if you would teach them to pray, that's your responsibility. You don't pay someone to come in and teach your kids the faith. That's what's given you to do. You may have someone be a nanny or babysitter, but not when it comes to the salvation of your children. Sit down with your kids. Read the catechism. Read the Bible. Teach them the basics of the faith. And that word won't depart from them. You know, I'm going to get on parents. Is that okay?
Yeah, you've got about a minute to do it.
Okay, I'll do it real quick. Our parents now teach our children shameful things. When you drop your children off at Sunday school and you don't go, you're teaching your child that Sunday school is for kids, and then you're going to be shocked when they don't want to go to Bible class when they're a teenager. Christianity is something that happens at home, and it's a given to the parents to do. You cannot skirt that responsibility to someone else, and certainly not a youth worker.
Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We're talking about youth ministry tonight. We do want to hear from you. We've got a lot of ground to cover before our conversation ends. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday, September the 30th. Our in-studio email address, we can get your questions and comments right here in the studio and have answers for them in real time, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, Pastor Borghardt talks about what he calls the Da Vinci Code principle. Wonder what that is, because there are a lot of things that youth get involved in their lives that I guess parents say, look, I'd rather have them not involved with them. Let's go talk to the youth pastor. And the youth pastor says, well, you know, I've never seen that movie. I've never heard that music, but you shouldn't see it either. or listen to it? How much credibility is that going to have if the pastor tells them, don't do this? Of course, I have no idea what it is, but don't do this. There are temptations and dangers out there. There's no doubt about that. And the church is there in part to warn not only the youth, but the younger and the older as well against those temptations. 1-800-730-2727 or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Also, your phone calls and your email after this. Is Issues Etc. part of your church's mission or advertising budget for next year? Well, your congregation can now join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include monthly CDs, books, transcripts, and advertising your church on our website, in the Issues Etc. journal, and possibly on the radio. For more information on how your church can support this worldwide mission outreach and publicize your congregation, look for the logo of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Is there a relationship between creation and salvation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is God Made It For You. It's a children's book on the creation story. For more information, find the cover of God Made It For You on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. God Made It For You is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. God Made It For You.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And our new level, the patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about youth ministry in the church. Pastor George Borghardt, youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and the conference executive for the youth organization called Higher Things, is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to Columbia, Missouri, where Clark is listening on KMCV. Hi, Clark.
Hello.
What's your question or comment, Clark?
Well, I was just listening, and I think you were talking about maybe like stuff like Xbox and fun stuff like that, maybe even paintball. I don't think paintball was mentioned, but just as kind of being watered down. And I can see if that's the heart of your ministry, maybe being watered down. But I know I'm a youth pastor at Revere, Missouri. It's northeast Missouri. We have that stuff. But maybe my youth will show up like 30 minutes before youth night so they can play Halo. But as soon as youth night starts, we shut it off, and we're serious. We're learning the word. We're singing praises, whatever. And we definitely preach Christ and Christ crucified. And so I think there's a healthy mix. Not that stuff is absolutely bad, but maybe how you use it.
Clark, thank you very much. All right, George, your thoughts there.
Paintball hurts. Really, really hurts.
If you do it right, it doesn't have to hurt.
If you're the pastor, you're going to get killed, probably by your own people. I would say that's a great comment. The expression that we use in around here and in Higher Things too. When we work, we work. When we worship, we worship. When we play, we play. So when we study the scriptures, we study the scriptures. When we worship, we're worshiping. We don't work in our worship. We don't play in our worship. We don't play in our study.
and we don't study in our play. So when we play, we shoot each other in Christian love. But we play. And so my kids do play Halo. They do play. They do paintball. They do all sorts of fun things. Sardine. They do all sorts of crazy stuff. Wheeze, you know. But there's a time for that. There's also a time to hit the word. Great comment. Great comment.
Clark, thank you very much, and thanks for listening to Missouri. Up next, Sean from Boulder, Colorado, listens on KRKS. Hi, Sean.
Hi.
Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. My comment was just that today's youth, in God's Word, I was brought up in the Bible and biography, not just the Bible, but I was brought up with God's Word. And in God's Word, it doesn't say to compromise. You do want to get to the youth of today. You know, you want to get them into, you know, get God's Word, help to get them, you know, saved. But you can't compromise. And that's what I've noticed what a lot of churches are doing. Yeah, like the guy was saying about, you know, you got the pastor coming in wearing a shirt backwards or whatever, or playing what they consider Christian rock or Christian rap. And just like, just for the music alone, music. Music, you don't want music to be boring. You don't want it to be, you know, where it's going to be, oh, this is just this. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, everything will fall into place, and you'll be able to make music that's going to get their attention.
Sean, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Colorado. Pastor Borghardt?
I don't think that we should compromise at all. I think we should give the kids Jesus. The hymns that they sing should deliver the gospel into their ears, and then as they sing, to the ears of one another. And so, no compromising on the gospel, no legalism on you know, what sort of music they listen to. The stuff they listen to needs to be appropriate. But again, when we're in church, when we're gathered around God's Word, we receive Jesus. I am the most boring dresser of a youth pastor that I know of. I have a wardrobe full of black with a collar. When they don't see me in black, they don't know what to do. I think I wore shorts one time. I was coming up to church. I said, "Pastor, your legs. Please put your clerical back on." So I think we should give the kids Jesus and not compromise in doing that.
Something that Sean said, kind of an offhand comment, but I want to pick up on it if we could. I don't think Sean meant it this way, but I think a lot of people do consider youth group as kind of the small-scale evangelism rally for people who may not be Christians. We send them to youth group because somehow we want to get them saved or make sure they're saved. How would you respond to that? As opposed to treating them like the Christians, the baptized, redeemed Christians that they are, regardless of their age.
The Lord tosses seed with reckless abandonment. He doesn't save. He treats everyone as one for whom he died. I think segregating, he doesn't pull apart. He's for all. He doesn't distinguish between age, color, race. He just delivers the salvation that he won for us on the cross. He does it in the word. He does it in the water. He does it in his body and blood given for us to eat and drink. Youth group isn't the antidote to whatever behavior problems we might have. It is not only the antidote. I think sometimes it might be. If it is the antidote, if it is anything, it is because Christ is delivered to us. And that's the same with church, too. I mean, the church is not an alcohol recovery program or a drug rehab, rehabilitation center. If that happens, that's fruit of the salvation which was achieved for us on the cross and delivered to us in the external word. He has his way with us, young and old. So I would steer away from anything which pulls us apart.
You talk about the Da Vinci Code principle.
You're going to get me in so much trouble, Todd.
All right. Well, that's you said yes when we asked you to come on the air. What is this Da Vinci Code principle dealing with issues that many youth pastors and many congregations would rather not deal with, the stuff that youth are involved in?
Right. Okay, I'll explain it to you. The and this, I think, I don't know, I think we need to consider this. It has its problems, it has its dangers, but it also has much fruit that can come from it, good stuff that can come from it. And that it occurred when the Da Vinci Code movie came out, that my youth group, one and all, were all telling me they were going to go. And I kept saying, please don't go. Please, please don't go. Please, please, you'll never get that 2 hours of your life back. Please. And when they refused, I said, okay, all right. If you go, I'm going with you. Oh, I love that. Pastor, will you wear your clerical? Oh, sure, I'll go with you. And afterwards, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this. And it was a bad movie. Great experience. I went, and I was sitting next to, I think I've told you the story before, but you're going to get it again. But I was sitting next to a parent, because I invited parents to go. I'm not going by myself. You're taking your parents with you. And we were watching the movie, and we're right at the horrific part where they start telling us, I put that telling us in quotes, how we got the scriptures. They were making stuff up. It was just made up. But so I'm starting to get a little frustrated. I'm starting to shift in my chair. I'm starting to realize that there's no way out of this hour. I want to go to sleep, but I need to stay awake for the kids. And there's just no way out of this hell of a movie that I'm enduring.
Hey, George.
Yes.
I'm going to make you take a break.
That's fine.
And you can finish your Da Vinci Code movie story on the other side of this
break.
That'd
be great. That's fine.
There he is, sitting in the theater with his youth group, watching the movie he told them not to go see. It would be a waste of your time. And yet when they were determined, he went with them. And right there in that part of the movie that he really didn't want them to see and makes the movie the waste of time, we'll find out what happened right after this. 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about youth ministry with Pastor George Borghardt. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's our in-studio email address. We'll be right back.
Go, my children, with my blessing, never alone.
Go, my children, with my blessing. It's one of the many songs on a new recording titled The Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group. Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie teamed with the girls' choir in South Africa to produce this new CD. And proceeds from this recording will benefit the Temba Trust, a nonprofit foundation that operates a girls' school and other educational and youth programs that serve South Africa's rural poor. For more information on the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. For a $25 donation to LCMS World Relief, you can get a CD with great music and also help South African children. Issuesetc.org, the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House. Concordia Publishing House has a new Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, first off, what's missing from so many Sunday school curricula?
I think a lot of substance is missing, and quite often Christ is missing in the way that he needs to be taught as Savior from sin, death, and the devil. There might be a mention of Christ. Maybe Christ is a great example. Christ is a good teacher, a moral teacher. But specifically, every week, we're missing often Christ as our Savior from sin and death.
Okay, so that's the sad general state of Sunday school curricula today. So what makes growing in Christ different? How is growing in Christ unique?
I think growing in Christ, we've been very intentional in in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior. And every story, every week, also connects the child to their life in the family of God. We have liturgy links or worship links. We're intentionally teaching the language of the faith and our faith vocabulary. And where does that come from? From the scriptures, for us as Lutherans, the catechism, and from our hymnal. Those are the ways we express what we believe about God and Christ. And so we want to teach that expression of the faith to our children and raise them up again in this family of God. That's all part of growing in Christ very intentionally, so that a child every week when they leave, they're certain that though they are a sinner, there is a Savior, Christ Jesus, who has come and done away with sin and death for them.
Are you looking for a truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for your church or Sunday school? Call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask about growing in Christ. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for more information about this truly Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about youth ministry. Pastor George Borghardt, youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, is our guest. He's a conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. When we went to the break, you were in the middle of telling your story, explaining your Da Vinci Code principle with the Da Vinci Code movie story. You're sitting there in the theater watching the Da Vinci Code movie with your church youth. Pick up where you left off.
Todd, you left me in the movie theater for 2 minutes. Suffering through this movie. Anyway, they're going through the part right where they say, this is how, quote unquote, we got the scriptures. The lady looks over at me, the mother looks over at me next to me, and she sees me all struggling and just befuddled. And she says, you know, Pastor, if you watch this as just a movie, you'll enjoy the plot and you'll get a lot out of it. Just remember that this is fiction. And I looked up at her and I was like, great, thank you. I just realized that, you know, I got to behave myself. So I sit up, you know, kind of like a kid who's being forced to watch the whole thing. And not a minute later, out of her mouth, while they're saying how the scriptures came about, she says, I didn't know that's how we got the scriptures. And I turned around and looked at her and said, you know, if you watch this as fiction, completely fiction, you'll get a lot out of it. Because that's not how we got the scriptures. These things, these places where we know they're going to go, where we have no opportunity to stop them, with the Romeo and Juliet problem. The more we tell them that that's a bad thing, the more they want to go to it. Those places we, as pastors, we might consider, judging by the situation, judging by the movie, what it's about, especially if it's about Christ, attending with them and then taking the time afterwards to discuss it with them. To sit down and say, okay, what was dreadfully wrong and dangerous about what you just saw? I get past the, it was a good book. Let's talk about what was dangerous. And then something can come of it, and we can be resourced to handle it in the future.
Is it about credibility? Is it about being able to intelligently and on a sound theological basis discuss something without simply saying, hey, don't read the Harry Potter novels, or
right,
hey, don't go to the Da Vinci Code movie?
Well, it was very interesting because they went to a Bible study. I was gone on the following Sunday, and they went to a Bible study where the pastor was going through the Da Vinci Code. And they, first thing first, they asked him, well, did you see the movie? And he said no.
And they all said, we just shut down Pastor because he didn't even take the time to go. He was doing someone else's material. And, you know, credibility. I think that's probably what nails it. But, you know, these things are dangerous. We know they're going to go to them. Let's stand and shield them from it by using the word, by taking the word of God and bringing it to bear on the situation. Now that this whole the idea of a principle, Da Vinci Code sort of principle, isn't for everyone. There are some people who think, well, I've just given $6 and 2 hours of my life and something I can't get back. I agree, but I could not. I knew they were going. I couldn't stop them from going, and so I was going to take this as an opportunity to give them the crucified, and since we're talking about the Da Vinci Code, and risen Christ for them. And so I think that we should not be afraid to engage what the world is feeding them on a one-on-one, man-to-man, or youth counselor, woman-to-world basis. I mean, let's engage these issues with them, and it will get credibility, but we'll also save them from the fires of hell. And then it's not us doing it, it's the Lord doing it.
Paul in Milwaukee listens on WRRD. He emails us this evening, is youth ministry just another ill-advised niche approach to narrow specific groups in the congregation? Maybe families should be the pastoral focus. Your thoughts, Pastor Borghardt?
I think, I think that pulling apart is bad. It's not, the Lord doesn't pull apart. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's, pulling apart, is not always helpful. Sometimes, though, when the Lord gives us an opportunity, we fling the seeds at those that are there. And if it's a Wednesday night and the youth are there, then let's sling some word at them. But as we talked about with the Sunday school, the Lord engages them in their world, in their vocation, and part of their vocation is being part of a family. And so hopefully, something to think about, we need to engage their whole family. I think that happens in the divine service, where he puts his body and blood into each member of the family, and so brings them together as one. But I'm with him on that answer. Just when the Lord gives me an opportunity to fling some seeds at some young people, I do it.
Then, again, this is kind of from my own garbled memory of youth group when I was growing up, and youth group was really the rage during the 70s. We were being told the whole new wave of Christianity was youth group. I remember lots of fundraisers, lots of car washes, leading up to big bus trips where we went off to some big event, and you kind of got the impression that you were kind of grassroots level, indentured servants to help pay your way off to the big mountaintop experience once every year or once every couple years during the summer.
Well, I think there is a certain bit of work that gets to be done in order to hear the gospel at a conference or a youth event or a retreat. Some congregations provide unbelievable support for their youth. Some, it's a half and half. My congregation does a half and half approach. There's something to be said about working and having something of value and doing something in a purely human level. Here we're not talking about the gospel. We're talking about just in the way we interact with one another. And teenagers also have that streak of independence. I don't know if you had it when you were a teen, but I had it. My parents were ready for me to go to LSU. It was 5 minutes away. They dropped me off and put me in the dorms, even though it was just 5 minutes away, because they were done with my stroke of independence. So I think they're working and striving to do something that's Christ-centered. Is certainly helpful. And there again, when we work, we work. When we play, we play. And when we worship, we worship. When we're working and we're raising money, we're working and raising money. Let's not slap a Christian thing on it. Let's just work. And then we'll study and we'll hear the Lord engage us in his word.
What about, and this inevitably happens, anyone who spent any time with a teenager realizes that it's hard to stay on the subject. I mean, part of my job as hosting this program is to keep the subject, keep myself and keep others on the subject. If I interviewed teenagers, my job would be exponentially more difficult because they tend to get off topic. Is this necessarily a bad thing, Pastor Borghardt?
No. I think again, here we're talking about a mechanics of teaching and not anything separated from the Lord delivering his words. Like in an adult Bible class, if someone asks a question that is important to them, you wouldn't say, I'm sorry, this is a Bible class on Matthew and you've made a reference to James. Tough toodles. You would stop and you would engage that individual in the word. That is, and have the word come to bear on them. And the same with youth. Fly by the seat of your pants. If they talk to a Muslim, that's what's on their mind, and they don't care if you've prepared the best Galatians Bible study that you think that they need. What they've decided that they want to hear is, tell me exactly about the difference between us and the Muslims. Do we have the same God? What's going on with that? Or the Mormons, or whatever it is that is troubling them. A lot of times it's the law. Is this a sin? And then the word of the Lord comes to bear on them. Other times it's how clearly to confess their faith. They want to confess their faith to the word, to the world around them, and their tongue gets tied. I just make it a point that wherever the discussion goes, that's where we go. It helps that I myself have attention deficit disorder and never know what's going to happen next. But you've already learned that in the last hour and a half of interviews with me. So, but I tend to think that they're far more important than me. And what they need to talk about is what we'll talk about. And the key here is bringing it always back to the cross. So whatever we're talking about, we're going to come back to Christ and him crucified. We're not going to stop short of him having answered for our sins and what that means in whatever question that we're coming at or whatever thing we're struggling on or whatever problem we're facing. So we're always coming back to the crucified and risen Lord as we do Bible class or study or pray.
There's an image that sticks in my mind, folks, and I probably will never forget it, and I have never been able to make complete sense of it either. It was a big youth event. Now, this is after my youth days, but in my early days as a pastor, the image of a large group of youth gathered together, and I think the service was a service of Holy Communion. Although, looking out over this large venue, it would have been difficult to tell that the Lord's Supper was what was going on there. The kids were all there in the giant auditorium, and flying through the air were beach balls that were being gigantic beach balls. Some of them might have had helium in them. I don't know. They were bouncing through the auditorium during the Holy Communion. I think there was also a magician involved at some point, and I wondered to myself, what's going on here? When these youth go home to their churches, what will they think? We'll talk about worship, work, play as separate things when we come back. Issues, Etc. regular guests, Drs. Arthur Just, Larry Rast, and Carl Schalk are just some of the speakers at this year's Good Shepherd Institute, November 4th through the 6th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you love worship, this is the conference for you. For more information, look for the Good Shepherd Institute logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2256. Celebrating the life and hymns of Paul Gerhardt and Martin Fransman is this year's theme. You'll experience Christ-centered, cross-focused worship at the Good Shepherd Institute, November 4th through the 6th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. issuesetc.org or area code 260-452-2256. 260-452-2256.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are the worship wars all about style, or are they really all about substance? Do Christians have complete freedom in worship? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues, Etc. journal titled Five Laws of Christian Freedom, and we'd like to send the next journal to you free. Simply call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Can the Reformation solas be found in the early church fathers? The next Issues, Etc. journal contains quotes from several church fathers on grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. 1-800-737-0172. And in the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio details his own Romans 7 dilemma. The Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free copy, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about youth ministry. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest, youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. George, tell us about Higher Things.
Higher Things is a national Lutheran youth organization founded much like the Walther League way back when, non-political, simply there to promote Lutheran identity in our youth. Through our magazine, through our conferences, through our retreats, through our website. The idea is to give kids Jesus and to teach them what it means for them to be Lutheran and so that they cherish that. So often, you made a comment about that beach ball. There wasn't a clown there, was there? Because I don't like clowns. No clowns, right?
I seem to remember a magician, but he might have been pulling double duty during that communion service.
Can't handle clowns. The reason why I'm involved with Higher Things is because I don't have to deprogram my kids. So I take them and I teach them the faith, and then I take them somewhere. They prepare all year. I don't want to have to deprogram them, about what they saw was not what goes on in our church. Higher Things is a grassroots organization committed to what goes on in our churches, in the Divine Liturgy, in our catechism classes, that is taught to youth throughout the United States and throughout the world.
Folks, for more information about this youth organization called Higher Things, their website address, higherthings.org, higherthings.org. Well, let's deal with that. The beach ball and the magician might have been a clown. I don't remember. This was some years ago.
Can't handle clowns.
What's at work when people who are paid big salaries to plan youth events say, I got a good idea. During the Lord's Supper, let's blow up some beach balls and have the kids just toss them around to kind of keep the crowd stirred up. And maybe we'll have a little something over here in this ring of the circus as well to keep them entertained during the Lord's Supper. What kind of mentality is at work here, in your opinion, Pastor Borghardt?
I think it gives way to our unbelief that the word simply isn't enough. Back to the formula we talked about very early in 2 hours ago, the Lord and something else, a beach ball, entertainment, something else other than simply the word. And I think we don't believe that the Lord saves us solely by the word, and so we make when we try to do a youth conference, we think that there needs to be something additional to the word. And so we end up doing something like playing in worship, which is just irreverent, and we would never do at church. So we just don't believe the word is enough.
So as a corrective to that, you've talked several times here this evening about worship is worship, work is work, play is work. is play. As a corrective to that, why is it important to keep those things in their own realm, in their own place, when we're serving our youth with the Word of God and ministering to them as a church?
That's what we do at church. I mean, that's what we do in our own parishes. You don't have the potluck during the Lord's Supper. You don't have our yearly picnic is great. We play softball. We have fun. But you don't do that during the Divine Service. You do that after the Divine Service. So when we're gathered together around the Lord's gifts, we are gathered together to hear His Word and to rejoice in His salvation, to receive His gifts. And then when we're out in the world and we're working, well, we're working. Or we're studying. That's work, too. And we're learning. And we're in Bible class. That's work. And then finally, you know, and when it's time to play softball, I'm the first person to put my LSU number one ranked hat backwards and play a little softball. But each is distinguished. Each is unique. Each has its place, as long as they're kept separate.
These youth are going to grow up. I mean, that's one thing we do know about them. We can't keep them from growing up. If we give them what has been the standard fare in youth ministry, what can we expect in the future? If we stop underestimating them, stop watering down what we give them, stop mixing worship, work, and play, and remember that these are sinners in need of Jesus Christ, what will be the future? What are the two paths ahead of us here?
Watered-down Christianity will produce watered-down Christians. Skim milk Christians, as we talked about earlier. I don't want my kids to grow up. My son turned 7 this week, and I told him I wasn't allowing him to turn 8, and he told me that his brother was allowed to turn 9. So when they grow up, and they do, we hope and pray that our kids do grow up, we give them the faith. We give them Christ and Him crucified. We teach them what goes on in our worship and what goes on in our what the Scriptures say about our sin, and what Christ has done for us and for our salvation. That word will not depart from them. So we give them Christ, and that sticks with them unto eternal life.
Finally, then, how important is authenticity in all aspects of youth ministry?
When Jesus called those disciples in Matthew 28 and sent them, they didn't become someone else after He sent them. They were who they were. They were sent with His Word to deliver His Word. Authenticity is important for adults. It's also important for teenagers. We are who the Lord made us, and He is the one that has sent us, whether we're a youth pastor or a youth worker or we're just the person that they roped into teaching this Bible study because, you know, no one else is available. We are who we are. He made us this way. And He's going to put the words in our mouths, and He's going to deliver His gifts to these young people. So there's no reason to act or be someone else. In fact, that'll only harm what you're trying to do. Get you out of the way. Less you, more Jesus. And that the Jesus who died and rose for us will save them.
Here's our mailing address, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, and our website address, issuesetc.org. Use any of those to receive a free copy of our next Issues Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. The address, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, the resource line number 1-800-737-0172, and our website address, issuesetc.org. Pastor George Borghardt is a youth pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, conference executive for a youth organization called Higher Things. George, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
I cannot help but think of that passage where St. Paul is writing to the much younger, yet already fledgling pastor, Timothy. It seems as though St. Paul has known Timothy for some time, perhaps from his youth, from the time when he was a lad and not a man, a young student and disciple of his and not a pastor. Well, in time, St. Paul will leave Timothy in charge of one of the largest and longest enduring congregations in the ancient world, Ephesus. A young pastor, by the way. I wonder if they called Timothy to be their youth pastor. I don't know if they did or not, the Ephesians, but when St. Paul deals with Timothy, the pastor, he has two things to say. He says, be a pastor to these people, sinners all. This is a trustworthy saying, he says, worthy of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's who you're dealing with, Pastor Timothy. If you're young, don't let them despise you because of it. And he says something else to Timothy, who he has entrusted these sinners in Ephesus, that they ought to receive through sound doctrine and instruction that word which is able to save both Timothy and those who hear him. There's no doubt about it. He does not send Timothy on a specialized niche ministry to deal with young sinners or old sinners, but all sinners with that gospel of Jesus Christ that is alone able to save us. He says to Timothy, you remember how from your youth you have known the Holy Scriptures. They are able to make a man wise unto salvation. Forget the beach balls and the pizza and the volleyball and the paintball. All of those things are fun. They are. But they don't save because they're not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do they need? They need the Savior of sinners. How do we give it to them? That's what youth ministry is really all about. How do we give it to them? The same way we give Christ to every sinner. Through that holy word that makes us wise unto salvation. It is a wisdom that is not the wisdom of this world, and it's not the fun of this world, and it's not the work of this world. It is the wisdom of God, the foolishness of Christ and Him crucified. I'll tell you one thing, if we give them something other than that, if we think we got something better for our youth, we can look forward to a church that is not Christ-centered or cross-focused. Yes, that is all we have, is Christ and Him for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.